This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 14th of November 2021. Today is the history edition of News West, and we have some interesting tales from our amateur radio past, including installment 4 of the Caterby story from Will VK6UU. After the recent launch of the Binar 1 Cube satellite, we hadn't heard a peep out of it. Well, we have now, and we tell you that story. There's news of a few upcoming local amateur radio events, another that's not local but you could join in, and there's more. News West is an independent amateur radio news program produced by WA Amateur Radio News, an amateur radio club based in Perth, Western Australia. Our website is vk6.net.
Do you remember a couple of months ago when News West published a scoop news item about the impending launch into space of the Binar 1 Cube satellite, the first West Australian satellite which was deployed by a team at Curtin University? You'll recall that you first heard the news broadcast on News West, days before the mainstream media even aired the story. We do like to brag, don't we? But we're not here to brag too much. But we thought it was a good time for an update. Binar 1 is doing what it should be doing, whizzing around up there in space, transmitting little bursts of data, and here's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like much to our ears, but that loud hissing noise is a burst of data. After Binar 1 was pushed into its orbit, 5 days passed by and the Binar team at Curtin were resigned to the fact that maybe they wouldn't be able to reach Binar. However, after 2 weeks, they heard back from the satellite after successfully enabling a secondary beacon. Well done to the Curtin Uni team, some of whom are amateur radio operators.
This historical vignette was written by Vic Kitney, VK6 Victor Kilo, and dated by him December 1980. When I first met Blake Horrocks, it would have been about 1946 at Harvey. I moved to Harvey, where I worked for Southwest Pictures and A.E. Rosner and Son, that's Roy. Blake was very interested in producing television, and to this end had developed an ingenious method to achieve this by means of film, car headlamp globes, a flying spot disc scanner, and a 75mm disposals CRO tube. Some small gramophone motors operated the mechanism. To obtain AC power, Blake had a rotary inverter to convert from the town's 220 volts DC to 220 volts AC and a few watts for his equipment. A large frame constructed from angle iron and MS bar was used to support the film reels, 35mm, from which the film moved down through the optical gate to be scanned by light focused from the car globe, through the flying spot disc, thence through the film and into a photoelectric cell to produce a video signal. This telecine system operated on the continuous motion principle, and the flying spot disc had some 48 holes carefully punched with the aid of a steel gramophone needle about the outer edge. These then allowed the light spot to scan through the film horizontally while the frame moved down. To establish field and line pulses, wheels made of about 6mm MS plate was turned up on a lathe and a slot was carefully filled into the periphery. The principle of operation was such that a MS bolt had a pickup coil of wire wound around it, and the end of the bolt was physically placed as close as possible to the synchronizing wheels. As the slot passed the bolt, a synchronizing pulse was generated. To obtain field pulses, a pulse wheel was attached to the end of the shaft, which turned the pull-down sprocket. To obtain line pulses, a pulse wheel was attached to the shaft which supported and turned the flying soft disc. The video amplifier consisted of 6 J7 valves, laid out in such a manner and configuration that the socket of one was adjacent to the grid cap of the succeeding stages, etc. This style of construction was compact and kept lead length to a very minimum. The display was observed on a 75mm Crow tube and gave a picture about 50mm by 30mm or so with 48 lines. A picture this small and with a green phosphor was surprisingly good to watch. Program material was obtained from the Film Exchange in Perth and was discarded 35mm newsreels, that is, wartime news stories. Later, sound was added to the system by again using a car globe for a light source, a modified school microscope to focus a slit of light through the film soundtrack, and an old photoelectric cell obtained from the local cinema manager. There was the occasion when two nuns from the nearby convent called on Blake to ask if they might see television, because they were told by a student that there was television in Harvey. This came about as a result of the teacher telling the class that there was television in England, but it would be a very long time before Australia had television. The nuns were most impressed with what they saw. At one stage, Blake had applied for a patent for an FM system he had invented, only to be subsequently advised that someone in Europe had lodged a patent for this method some little while earlier. Blake had constructed a mirror drum scanner and was a painstaking effort containing several pieces of glass mirrors cut and stuck onto the surface of the drum. This was found in a box made from galvanized sheet iron. I never saw this in operation. I suspect that scanning method was too erratic, whereas the disc manner was far more even. Blake held the amateur call sign Victor Kilo 6 Golf Sierra and was a very good friend to Rollo Everingham, VK6, Bravo Oscar, who made several trips from Perth to Harvey to meet Blake. I suspect that much brain power would have been put into action as both persons were thinkers and both pursued radio communication as a hobby. Many hours were spent in trying to establish radio contact between Harvey and Perth on 144 megahertz band. The liaison band was 7 megahertz for the purposes of these tests. Vic Kitney, VK6, Victor Kilo.
The Caterby repeater site was used for several interesting ideas. A preamp was added in front of the repeater's receiver. Adding a preamp to a repeater's receiver has to be done with caution. The receiver is already on the edge of overload from the repeater's transmitter, and adding more front-end gain reduces the isolation between the transmitter and the receiver. Add 10 dB of front-end gain, and this decreases the isolation between the receiver and the transmitter by 10 dB. The reason for adding a preamp, of course, is to improve the receiver's sensitivity. The Caterby repeater had been changed from the original IC22A design to an FM880, an ex-commercial radio telephone. The sensitivity of the FM880 is about 0.4 microvolts for 20 dB of audio quietening, okay for its intended use, but the sensitivity could be improved with a preamp to about 0.15 microvolts for 20 dB quietening, an 8 dB improvement in sensitivity, worth having if the preamp does not cause overload. The preamp was a design from the FM and repeaters handbook. It used two grounded gate FETs in series with a total gain of 16 dB. The preamp was constructed inside a double-sided PCB board box, and then this RF-type box mounted inside a die-cast box for even greater RF isolation. 12 volts was provided through 1000 PF feed-through capacitors. This preamp was originally used on Perth's first repeater, an F60 base station, that had a very good New Vista front end. The New Vista is a small valve, smaller than a thimble, and ideal in a repeater. The transistor preamp improved the sensitivity 6 dB. This same preamp was later used up the Rolling Stone mast, some 250 feet high. The F60 used split antennas, and this made it possible to use a preamp up the tower, to not only improve the sensitivity, but also overcome the coax loss. The overall increase in sensitivity was 9 dB, worth having. This same preamp, years later, made it to Caterby. As the gain of the preamp was more than needed, Two loosely coupled full-size cavity filters were placed between the preamp and the repeater's receiver. This is after the duplexer. The coupling loops in the cavity filters were reduced in size, and the loss through the cavity filter, on the frequency it was tuned to, was 5 dB, for a total of 10 dB. This increased the Q of the cavity filters greatly, being some 20 dB down on the repeater's transmit frequency, and with the two filters, 40 dB was achieved at 600 kHz away. With the 10 dB loss on the receive frequency introduced by the two cavity filters, the preamp ended up providing 6 dB of overall gain. Not a lot, but the right amount to improve the sensitivity of the Caterpie repeater's receiver and not add to overload. The bandpass cavity filters achieved two things, effectively reducing the gain of the preamp and providing a lot of attenuation on all but the receive frequency. The result was Caterpie had perhaps the most sensitive receiver in any repeater in VK6. It is important to know that overload of a receiver is more likely to be in the first mixer stage and not the preamp. As managers of the site changed, the full understanding of what the setup was for was lost. I don't know what happened to the preamp. The next experiment that was tried at Caterpie was packet. Packet radio was a revolution in amateur radio. Almost every amateur was getting into packet radio. The flexibility of packet radio increased with mailboxes in your TNC, and all sorts of uses it could be put to. One was testing propagation. The TNC records stations heard, and this allowed propagation paths to be monitored. A packet station was installed at Caterpie. The main intention was to find out what the path to Geraldton and beyond was like. It was already known that Caterpie was in a prime location between Perth and Geraldton, but how well would Caterpie be as a packet digipeater? Two 7-element vertically polarised beams were installed on the tower at Caterpie, pointed at Geraldton. Even off the back of the beams, many stations could access the digipeater at Caterpie, or via another digipeater closer to Caterpie from Perth. The daily results were monitored, and connection from Caterpie to Geraldton occurred often in the afternoon and through the night. It was fun to leave a personal message to another amateur within the Caterpie digipeater mailbox. In the next history of Caterpie, the RF linking of Caterpie to Perth and beyond, and all done using RF, as the internet was just beginning.
If it's not amateur radio, it's not amateur radio news. News West is dedicated to amateur radio for amateur radio operators. This is VK6 ARN, and I'm Bob VK6 POP.
The Hills Amateur Radio Group is planning a field day to bring local hams together. So they've chosen the 27th of November for the amateur community to get together, and you're all invited to meet the Haag group at 12 noon at the Bill Shaw Reserve, situated on the corner of Grove and Canning Roads, Wollaston, which is just 5 minutes from the Haag club rooms. It's not too clear what exactly will happen at this field day. However, it's a good guess that everyone brings their toys and does the "I'll show you mine if you show me yours" type of thing. Canning Road is the main drag through Cullamunda. If coming from the Perth side, keep driving south on Canning Road and you'll find it. Lunch is available from the famous Wally Deli, just across the road from the park. They have a great selection of fresh food and drinks at very reasonable prices. This was not an advertisement, just merely advice. The location again, the Bill Shaw Reserve, corner of Grove and Canning Roads, Wollaston, at 12 noon onwards, Saturday, 27th of November. So pop along, bring the toys and play with portable operation. You don't need to register or anything, simply rock up, ready to play radios, and of course the socialising will come into play too.
This article is from the Daily News newspaper on Wednesday the 9th of June, 1937, with the title, Netherlands Amateur Wins Radio Cup. Remarkable progress made in the space of 2 years is revealed in the figures behind the consistent performance of a young amateur wireless enthusiast, Mr. William Weston, of Portland Street in Netherlands. His good work in shortwave transmission and reception has won for him the West Australian Cup, donated for the best all-round performance by a West Australian amateur transmitter over a period of 12 months. During the period from June 1, 1936 to May 31, 1937, Mr. Weston exchanged greetings and messages with 924 amateurs scattered all over the world. Located in 34 countries, he contacted 23 of these transmitters by radio phone and the rest by the use of Morse code. Included in his achievements are the carrying out of test experiments on 10 metres, with all Australia and New Zealand on telephony, and the holding of a schedule with America for 5 consecutive mornings. Telephony communication with 23 countries on 20 metres, including a regular schedule for 6 consecutive weekends with England, and nightly contacts with America and Canada. The winning in this state of the Australia-New Zealand Morse code contest and the winning in West Australia of the American Radio League phone contest for the greatest number of contacts. His transmitter is built into a 6-foot rack and panel and was entirely designed and built by himself. It comprises a 5-valve radio frequency section, the power section of 4 valves, and a 5-valve modulator complete with monitor speaker and a crystal microphone. Mr. Weston contends that the big secret of his achievements in getting long-distance stations is the experimental work he has done on antennas. He now has a special antenna rigged which consists of 2 40-foot poles. Originally, he erected 3 70-foot masts in a triangular formation, but these were destroyed by the wind. This is the first time Mr. Weston has won the West Australian Cup. He has been engaged in commercial radio work for a number of years, but has only held an amateur licence for 2 years.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the BK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from BK6 ARN.
This Wednesday coming, the 17th of November, prawnheads will be gathering in Mandurah for lunch at the Irish pub along the waterfront. Everyone's welcome. We do lunch at 12 noon. Just let us know you're coming via the Prawnheads Facebook group so we can expect you and make sure there's enough seats at the table. The setup is easy. Everyone buys their own food and drinks and the conversation is good.
Have you heard of Antenna Palooza? Antenna Palooza, now in its 7th year, is a Victorian Joints Club effort and is on the 4th and 5th of December 2021. Antenna Palooza is a casual gathering for radio hams interested in social and technical activities. Old hands and newcomers alike will benefit from this event. There are brief presentations that will help in understanding and resolving interference issues. The event is on a rural property and participants can camp overnight. Established operators can treat this event as an opportunity for setting up and trying out antennas, as there's loads of space to spread out. Bring along some gear and see what you can hear. QRM in the area is generally very low. The theme for 2021 will be setting up a mobile station. It will include talks and demonstrations on how to set up and configure a mobile station for HF, VHF and UHF. Topics will also include interference and how to reduce its impact. Those wishing to bring their tents or caravans on the Friday afternoon are welcome to arrive any time after 3 p.m. So, what's this got to do with us here in Western Australia? Not a lot, I guess, but if you're at a loss for something to do on the first weekend of December, you might want to listen out for this lot. And there's something else you can do. You could put your mind to thinking about running a similar event here in WA. It would need some sort of rural or semi-rural setting with open space and trees, and an ablution block would be handy. So, here's a challenge for all Western Australian amateurs. All it would take is an individual or a club to take on a coordinating role, get support from clubs around the place, find a suitable venue, and either set a per capita fee to cover any cost or get the clubs to chip in and sponsor the site costs. Everyone brings their own camping gear, radio gear and antennas to try out. It sounds like a damn good idea and one that's probably not too hard to pull off. So, do we have any takers?
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
News West next week explores the world of the new amateur. We'll acknowledge those who have gained a new or upgraded license and hand out some gratuitous but sage advice to newcomers, and this may even prove useful for the old hands as well. What was it like when you first dipped your toe into amateur radio pond? Would you like to tell us how it was for you? Believe it or not, your story will be interesting to others as well. Or perhaps, if you're long past being a beginner and you're an old hand at amateur radio now, and there's something you'd like to pass on to newcomers, that story is also welcome. All you need to do is to write it down and record it. Usually about 300 words makes a nice sized piece. You can make a decent recording on a smartphone these days. Just set it to the best quality your device can manage and avoid a noisy environment. If you're a bit uncertain about making your own recording, drop us a line to newswest@vk6.net and we can interview you either face-to-face or via a two-person meeting via Zoom, Skype, or similar. Please send all contributions as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net. And speaking of next week's, the following week on News West, 28th of November, is an open theme, Anything Goes episode. Contributions are most welcome.
The Northern Corridor's radio group's car boot sale will be on Sunday the 21st of November. That sounds like next Sunday. It will be at the NCRG Club Rooms out at Whiteman Park there from 9 a.m. for sellers and 10 a.m. for buyers. The charge is $5 for sellers and buyers get in free. Wow, free, you should go twice. There'll be refreshments available and barbecued sausages to purchase on the day. And the weather's expected to be a bit hot, so wear a hat, and if you're a seller, put up some sort of a shade maybe. Anyway, good chance for a day out. Do it.
Greeting once again from VK6 X-Ray Victor with this week's helpline, the 14th of November 2021. What do I have for you today? First off the mic is one from Warren, VK6 Victor Echo Tango. He has an ICOM 706 for sale. It's been workshop tested. Radio comes with a power lead but does not have a microphone. Asking $350. Contact Warren, VK6 Victor Echo Tango on 0412-729-543. Again, 0412-729-543. Next one comes from Steve, VK6 Sierra Juliet. He has a Alpha Tango Alpha Sierra 120 auto tune antenna suited to the Yaesu Fox Tango 450, Fox Tango 857, 897, or the Fox Tango 100 Delta transceiver. Second hand, but in good condition, looking for $300 for that. Pick up only, contact Steve, VK6 Sierra Juliet. His email address is steve@kennedy-sierrajuliet.com.au. I'll say again, Sierra Tango Echo Victor Echo at Kennedy, Kilo Echo November November Echo Delta Yankee - sierrajuliet.com.au, or you may phone the mobile, which is 0414-0340-1479. Next, I have some repeats from previous weeks. A CW Fildo Dasuda Yaesu Fox Tango 817 transceiver is required, such as the Yankee Fox 122 Charlie, Yankee Fox 122 Charlie November. Please contact Mark if you can help him. That's VK6QI, his SMS, or phone is 0418 161773. 0418-161-773. Also wanted by Mark, VK6BSA, is squid poles. If you have any squid poles surplus to your requirement, please contact Mark. His phone number is 0408-688-903. That's 0408-688-903. Email vk6bravo sierra alpha at ionet.net.au. Also wanted is a diamond Charlie Papa 6 Sierra HF vertical antenna. Please contact VK6 Fox Romeo Lima Romeo on 0439-997-863. 0439-997-863. Still looking for an 8-pin DIN lead for a AT897 to a Fox Tango transceiver, a Yaesu in other words. 8-pin DIN lead from an AT897 to a Yaesu transceiver. It's part number 808 Kilo Mike Delta 8 Papa. Kim is looking for that. 0414-328-225. 0414-328-225. And Clive, VK6 Charlie Sierra Whisker, has a beautiful looking 1959 Grundig Majestic all wave radio, model 3086. 8 valve long wave, medium wave, short wave, and VHF bands. Collector's item. If you're interested, please contact Clive on his email. His email address is Charlie Sierra Whiskey Alpha Lima Lima India Sierra at hotmail.com. Well, that's all I'm going to serve up for you today, but if you have any items for next week, please contact me by email, the address being victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com, and I'll attempt to do whatever I can to help you. This is the helpline. Good afternoon and good morning, 73.
Well done, team. Another full episode of News West. The studio team this week was Jeff, VK6JEF, Roy, VK6XV, Mike, VK6KMS, and Andrew, VK6AS, makes the coffee and lends his studio desk to Mike. And thanks to our guest presenter this week, Will, VK6UU, for his Caterby story and the other stuff he sends from time to time for our team to record. Thanks, of course, to the broadcast and relay operators and to those who operate and maintain the repeater networks that carry the broadcasts. Oh, and thanks to you folk, those who listen to the news broadcasts on air or online. And speaking of you, Mob, please hang around for the callbacks or jump onto vk6.net to record your callback. Then before you get distracted by anything else and your radio is still warm, get on air and make some noise.